ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय by Pranava or Omkara. Thus chanting the Vedic mantras,
beginning with Omkara is directly chanting of Krishna's name. There is no difference whether one chants Omkara or addresses the Lord as Krishna. The meaning is the same. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that in this age one chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Naam Eva Kevalam. Although there is no difference between Hare Krishna and the Vedic mantras, beginning with Omkara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the leader of the spiritual movement for this age, has recommended that one chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Agnana Tiranda Chaya, Dhyana Anjana Sarabhaya, Shoran Sushangena, Tashmai Shri Gurema, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Tathitam Yena, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Tadamaya, Tadapi Swaha Parantitam, Vande Guru Shri Guru Shri Tamparanam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamsitam, Shri Rupam Sahajatam Sarvanarunatam Vatantam Sarajivam Sadvaitam Sahadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sarvanarantam Shri Shatam Vatam Ishtam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatate Gopesha Gopita Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskate Tarta Kanchana Gavrani Radha Vrinda Manishwari जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासागर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम
Hare Krishna. So, I'll read the verse again. At Narayan Saras, the second group of sons perform penances in the same way as the first. They bathe in the holy water and by its touch all the dirty material desires in their heart were cleansed away. They murmured mantras beginning with Omkara and underwent a severe course of austerities. So we hear these are the second set of sons who have been performing austerities and they are going to the waters of Narayan Saras, which is in the Gujarat part of India, western side of India, and it is a holy place. It is the holy place where Lord Narayan himself created this kund, Narayan Saras, Narayan Sarovar, also known as Narayan Sarovar. So, it's a beautiful place where the second set of sons. So, we'll just go back into the history of what has been happening in this last chapter and this chapter. So, in the beginning of this canto, we heard about pastime of Ajamil, where Ajamil is the glories of chanting is mentioned, where Ajamil is chanting in his last moment, chanting the holy names of Narayan, and then he's getting a second chance, also mentioned in the book, a second chance, pastime is mentioned. So, after which, after Sukadeva Goswami finishes the pastime of Ajamil, Parikshit Maharaj is inquiring to Sukadeva Goswami about the second recreation, tell more about the Visarga. And at that point, Sukadeva Goswami is beginning to explain how the universe was populated in the beginning of this Yuga cycle. At that point, Sukadeva Goswami is narrating the pastime of the Prachetas, how the Prachetas came back from their austerities and penances, and they saw like everything was covered by forest, and then they tried to burn off the forest, and then Brahma asked them not to do that. At that point, Marisha was given to Prachetas so that they can create the help in the progeny, and from the union of Prachetas and Marisha, Daksha was born. So this is the second birth of Daksha. We heard about Daksha in the beginning of fourth canto. So at that time, Daksha had committed offense. We heard like it was a long past time. Daksha commits offense to Lord Shiva and his head was cut off. And then he had to take birth after, he had to perform austerity and take birth again in the sixth manvantara. So for five manvantaras he had to perform austerity, and now he is appearing again as a Prajapati. So this time Daksha is performing austerity, and again he is pleasing Lord Vishnu. And when Lord Vishnu appears, he blesses Daksha to help him in creating the populating the universe. Because we see Daksha performed all this austerity and penances, and he was able to see the Lord face to face. But because his desires were not pure, he was not completely pure, Lord allowed him to even populate the universe, to be in the material, to engage in the materialistic activities, the fruitive activities, as Srila Prabhupada mentions. So he was given Akarshini, and Akarshini and Daksha produced, because this personality, Akarshini, was not an ordinary woman. She could produce thousands of children. And so Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan blessed Daksha with a woman who could produce, help in the desire of Daksha to produce thousands of children. And so with the union of Akarshini, Daksha was able to have 10,000 sons, Haryaswas. And these 10,000 sons were sent to perform austerity in Narayan Saras, which was the first set of sons which is mentioned here. And so they were sent to Narayan Saras to perform austerity by Daksha. After performing austerity, when they were returning, Narad Muni saw them and thought, these are already great souls. They need not go through the cycle of birth and death or engaging in materialistic activities. So let me preach to them and see if they can be delivered. And so Narad Muni approached Haryaswas, the 10,000 sons of Daksha, and preached to them and narrated a beautiful allegorical story. And when Narad Muni preached to them, the Haryaswas, it is mentioned, Haryaswas was so confident that just by the natural intelligence, they could understand the allegorical story. And there was no need for any explanation to them, and they immediately renounced the material task which was given by Daksha engaging into the household life. So they were able to give up and they renounced the kingdom, and they renounced the order of the father, and they just left for the forest. So Daksha was not happy with that, and again when Brahma insisted Daksha to produce another set of children, so Daksha this time produced 1,000 children, and they were Savalas, what we are hearing about them in this section.
All sons,
1,000 sons. So Daksha produces 1,000 sons, and the same instruction is given that he gave to Haryaswas, 10,000 sons, to go and perform austerity at Narayan Saras. And we hear that the 1,000 sons are going to Narayan Saras and performing austerity. And just to give what is coming, again Narad Muni preaches to these 1,000 sons when they are purified, and they also renounce. Narad Muni this time does not have to preach too much. He just says, just follow what your seniors have done, what your elder brothers have done, and you can just become liberated. Why engaging the materialistic activity? Just follow the seniors. So the 1,000 sons also renounce their duty, and then they become liberated. At that point, again, Daksha is not happy, curses Narad Muni, and the whole pastime unfolds later on. So what we are hearing here is an interesting part where Daksha, as we had mentioned yesterday in a class, there is a duty. Everyone is bound by the duty in the Vedic system. Even though Daksha knew that when he sent the first 10,000 sons, the sons just went away. He did not ask the next set of sons to just engage in producing children or engage into the family life. But he asked, you go and perform austerity. So there was certain kind of responsibility, as Lord Rishabhdev mentions in the fifth canto, Guru Nasasya, Swajano Nasasya, Pita Nasasya, Janni Nasasya, Devam na tatsyan, na patis chasasyan, na mochit samuketa vrittim. So, Lord Rishabhadev is mentioning that one should not become a guru, a relative, a father or a mother, a demigod or a husband, if one cannot deliver his dependent from the cycle of birth and death. So these are the positions of responsibility. If one is becoming a guru or a father or a husband or a demigod, these are the responsible positions. One has to fulfill the need of those positions. So here Daksha shows an example, like even though the first set of sons went, but still he is beautifully sending the second sons to perform austerity so that they can produce good progeny in the material world. And this is required because Srila Prabhupada many times in his purports is emphasizing the need for Garbhadhan Samskara. Because whenever you are going, when you get married, in the Vedic system it was like the first 25 years is a Brahmachari Ashram. People used to go through the Brahmachari Ashram, and then if they want they can engage into the, they can join the Grahastha Ashram. But that training of first 25 years is given where one has performed austerity, where one has performed sattvic study, so they have got the right set of mind before they engage into the Grahastha Ashram. So when the progeny, when they engage in producing children, the children are automatically Krishna conscious. So they are having the right state of mind. But we see in this, in Kali Yuga especially, we see those, that the Brahmachari Ashram has completely disappeared. We don't see many people sending their kids to the Gurukul or to, that kind of training is given to the kids. So, it is very important that one goes through this kind of training, at least in the Grahastha Ashram. So, Srila Prabhupada emphasized the need for Garbhadhan Samskara, where one performs certain, where one chants certain number of rounds and performs some kind of austerity before they produce children, and then the children who are produced are Krishna conscious. At least, if not Krishna, at least they are pious. So that is what we see here in this pastime. Daksha is sending that, sending his thousand sons to perform austerity. So another point that Srila Prabhupada is making in the purport is, in there is a need for purification in whatever we do. So what is it that we enjoy the most? So let me start with this question. If there is a, we have got a system of 5 days of working and then 2 days of weekends. So in the weekend, what do we do? What do we like to do the most? So if you have been given 2 days of break from the normal routine, what do we like to do? Yeah, Abhay?
We just like to work and just sit down.
You'd like to?
We don't do work, we just sit down.
Just sit down and do nothing. So yeah, so after 5, and this is what most of the people at office, they plan to do. So after 5 days of work, if you, and many times Friday is the day of discussing what's on the weekend. And some people have got that kind of a idea, I'm just going to sleep or I'm just going to do nothing. So what else would we like to do if we have been given a break for 2 days?
Play.
Right? So we like to play. We like to do something different which we don't do in the normal weekday. So, I was reading Chant and Be Happy. And in this introduction, Srila Prabhupada, there is a nice introduction where Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that initially everyone is trying to satisfy their senses. So that is a, there are 5 kind of koshas. It is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also, it is mentioned. 5 kind of koshas, 5 level of koshas. Koshas means bodies. We have got different coverings on us. So the topmost covering is known as the Annamaya kosha. Annamaya kosha means, it's the, eating and sleeping. So that is like the gross material desires. So when a child is born, what is the, what does he want? What does he ask for when the child is born? That's right. Just food. is not worried about what day or what time of the day it is. All he needs is food. As soon as his stomach is full and his clothes are clean, he will go to sleep. As soon as he is hungry or his clothes are wet, he will start crying. Regardless of what day, time, whether mother, father are sleeping or everyone else is sleeping, doesn't matter. That is the only need for him. So that is known as Annamaya Kosha, where he is just concerned about eating food. So that is the basic level of understanding. And then above Annamaya Kosha is Pranamaya Kosha. It is interesting, even in Bhagavad Gita, this is Ashtanga Yoga process is given. So the Ashtanga Yoga has got 8 steps. Yam, Niyam, Pranayama. Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyaya, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So this first 3, Yam, Niyam, Asana. What does Yam mean? Yam, Niyam means rules and regulations. Asana means postures. So this first 3 deal with the Annamaya Kosha. So they are just dealing with the bodily platform. How you can perform your, you follow all the rules, regulations. You sit properly so that you can have a better life. So exercise and all those things are given in Yam Niyam Asana. And then there is Pranamaya Kosha. Pranamaya Kosha is the breathing, airflow within your body. Bhagavatam 3rd canto explains about the 10 kinds of air which are going through within our body. So the basic is prana. Prana means what we breathe in, inhale. Then apana. Apana is what comes out of the rectum. And then there is a air of digestion, air within the throat, mouth, within the body which circulates. So there are 10 different types of air which are going on in the body. So that is, science is known as pranayama. In Ashtanga Yoga we hear that. So that is Pranamaya Kosha. When you understand how your breathing and all your activities of the air are flowing through the body, you come to that level, Pranamaya Kosha. Then higher than Pranamaya Kosha is Gnanamaya Kosha. So Gnanamaya Kosha is where you understand your bodily needs, you understand your breathing processes, and then you understand about who you actually are. This is more to do with knowledge part of yourself. So this is again Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayama, and then you are coming to Pratyahara, where you are restricting, you are having the knowledge of what is right and wrong, so you are restricting yourself from doing something which is abominable. What should be done and what should not be done. So those kind of restrictions of the sense gratification activities comes from the Gnanamaya Kosha. And then higher than that is the Vijnanamaya Kosha, where your intelligence is more developed. And when your intelligence is more developed, what happens? You know not only what should be done, what should not be done, but again you are engaging yourself. So Annamaya, Pranamaya are more on the bodily platform, which is more on the gross level. Jnanamaya is more on the mind platform, and then Vijnanamaya is more on the intelligence platform. So where your intelligence is purified by the process of studying the Shastra, associating with the devotees, following the process of chanting, which is mentioned here. So by chanting, you develop pure intelligence, natural intelligence. By austerity penances you perform, you develop natural intelligence. So that Vijnanamaya is developed. And then you come to Anandamaya. Anandamaya is the natural platform where you perform transcendental devotional service. So like this, there are 5 stages. Again, in coming to comparison with Ashtanga Yoga. So Vijnanamaya is more of Dharana and Dhyana. And Anandamaya is more of Samadhi, where you actually feel the bliss. So these are the 5 levels of koshas, how you can develop. And Anandamaya is on the transcendental platform, which we have mentioned here. Srila Prabhupada's famous audio recording, all of you must have heard. Srila Prabhupada mentioned the transcendental vibration established by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna and Rama, they are the sublime method for reviving our transcendental consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, this whole lecture nicely mentions about the importance of chanting Hare Krishna and how these key words Hare, Krishna and Rama are not ordinary words, they are transcendental, and these words are directly coming from the spiritual world. So further I will read Srila Prabhupada's words. As living spiritual souls, we are all originally Krishna conscious entities. But due to our association with matter from time immemorial, our consciousness is now adulterated with the material atmosphere. It's so interesting, Srila Prabhupada uses, when you hear Srila Prabhupada, he uses the words. Sometimes he even invents, once Prabhupada was asked, there is no word like fruity in the dictionary. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is my donation to the English dictionary. So he uses the specific words which gives us the meaning, which makes us understand what does it mean immediately by hearing that word, fruity. So we can understand which make the activities which have got material desires, fruity mentality. So it is also mentioned that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had memorized the entire dictionary by heart. And when he used to write his books, even the Britishers who used to read those books used to sit with a dictionary to understand what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written. Because he used to use so specific words for describing Krishna and devotional service that it was not possible for an ordinary, even Britishers whose first language is English, they couldn't understand those words. So this is the quality of a devotee, and this is how Srila Prabhupada has preached to the Western world and given us this. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, as living spiritual souls, we are all originally Krishna conscious entities. But due to our association with matter from time immemorial, our consciousness is now adulterated in the material atmosphere. The material atmosphere in which we are living now is called Maya or illusion. Maya means that which is not. And we are trying to exploit the resources of material nature, but actually we are becoming more and more entangled in her complexities. Therefore, although we engage in a hard struggle to conquer nature, we are ever more dependent on her. This illusory struggle against material nature can be stopped at once by revival of our eternal Krishna consciousness. And now Srila Prabhupada explains how we can revive our eternal Krishna consciousness. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare is a transcendental process for reviving this original pure consciousness. By chanting this transcendental vibration, we can cleanse away all misgivings within our heart. So Srila Prabhupada is simplifying the process of devotional service to just chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And exactly what it is mentioned in the purport, Srila Prabhupada has given to this verse, that just by chanting, one can purify his misgivings in the heart. Further, Srila Prabhupada writes, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It took me a couple of times to read this to perfectly understand what Srila Prabhupada is, not perfectly, but just understand what Srila Prabhupada is trying to mention. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. So what does that mean, artificial imposition on the mind?
There's got no negative impact on
it. Sorry?
There's got no negative impact on
it. No negative impact on the mind. Yes, sir. Natural condition of the jiva. There is no adulteration. Thank you. So there is no adulteration, as Prabhupada has explained before, that because of our associating with the material atmosphere, our consciousness is adulterated. Whereas this same Krishna consciousness or chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is not a natural, it's not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is natural. This consciousness is original, natural energy of the living entity. When we hear this transcendental vibration, this consciousness is revived. So, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra revives our original state, reveals us our original state or original nature that we are. Because right now, our consciousness is adulterated,
polluted.
So how does that happen? Further, Srila Prabhupada writes, This simplest method of meditation is recommended for this age. By practical experience also, one can perceive that by chanting this Mahamantra or the great chanting of for deliverance, one can at once feel transcendental ecstasy coming through from the spiritual stratum. So, these words are not coming that coming a creation or creation of the material modes, or it's not material, but directly coming from spiritual world. This is given directly by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it was always there, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this Mahamantra. It is infused his energies into it. So the energy of the Lord is infused into it, and which makes it transcendental. And when we chant this mantra, Mahamantra, it automatically reveals our natural swarupa. So this is the process, this is one of the easiest process that we can perform in Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada again further writes, these three words, namely Hare, Krishna and Rama, are the transcendental seeds of the Mahamantra. The chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and His energies to give protection to the conditioned soul. And so the Mahamantra consists of three words, Hare, Rama and Krishna. So Prabhupada is mentioning Hara or Hare is the energy of the Lord, and Rama and Krishna, Krishna and Rama are the names of the Lord, pleasure potency of the Lord. So this chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. Mother Hara helps the devotee achieve the Supreme Father's grace, and the Lord reveals himself to the devotee who chants the mantra sincerely. And so just by chanting Mahamantra sincerely, the Hara or the energy of the Lord reveals us or allows us to have access to our Supreme Father, Krishna. No other means of spiritual realization is as effective in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy as the chanting of the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada in this lecture nicely just summarizes that there is no other process, or in this purport also Srila Prabhupada is just pointing it down, pinning it down to this conclusion that chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the only way one can get out of this clutches of Maya or out of this material world. I was reading again in the same book, Chant and Be Happy. There was a discussion given between George Harrison and Yoko Ono and John Lennon. And Yoko Ono mentions this point. If Hare Krishna is such a strong, powerful mantra, is there any reason to chant anything else? For instance, you talked about songs and different mantras. Is there any point in chanting another song or mantra? So this was a question asked by Yoko Ono. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are many other mantras. I'll just say the summary of what Srila Prabhupada has mentioned. So Srila Prabhupada says, there are many other mantras, and chanting of the mantra is nothing new. Narada Muni has been going around the world chanting mantras. And there is nothing wrong with chanting the other mantras. But for deliverance, one has to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra on a regular basis, a set number of rounds. It is important that one has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anything else, of course, as it is mentioned, Omkara and all the other Prana Mantras are nothing but Krishna's name. But this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is directly given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada is writing, it has got the potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is why this is the Yuga Mantra, and we have to chant this mantra. All the other mantras will support this mantra in enhancing our mood, but this mantra is the must. And then John Lennon asks another question related to chanting. If all mantras are just the names of God, then whether it's a secret mantra or an open mantra, it's all the name of God. So it doesn't really make difference, does it, which one do you sing? And then Srila Prabhupada again makes, it does make a difference. Srila Prabhupada immediately says, starts with, it does make a difference. For instance, in a drug shop, they sell all types of medicine for curing a particular type of disease. But still, you have to get the doctor's prescription in order to get a particular type of medicine. Otherwise, the druggist won't supply you. You might go to the drug shop and say, I am diseased, please give me this medicine you have. But the druggist will ask you, where is the prescription? Srila Prabhupada is giving a very nice example, saying that there are many mantras, you can chant any of the mantras, but where is the prescription? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this prescription that this is the only mantra which needs to be chanted for this age of Kali. So that is why, that is our prescription. And then Srila Prabhupada further mentions in the same section, saying that the mantra has to be given in parampara. Evam, and he quotes this verse, evam parampara praptam imam rajaswarmini sakal mahata yoga nasta parantapa. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, if the mantra or the instruction is not coming in the parampara, it is lost, it is destroyed over a period of time. So it has to be handed down over parampara. And he quotes another verse in there. He said, sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishfala mata. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining that if the mantra is not coming down to disciplic succession, then it is nishfala. Even though you are chanting the same mantra, if it is not given to you in the disciplic succession, it is nishfala. It will not make any, it will be of no benefit to you. At that point, John Lennon asked, but it is the same mantra, how can it not have the potency? And Srila Prabhupada is saying, milk touched by the serpent becomes poisonous. So even if you drink the milk which is touched by the serpent, it is nutritious otherwise, but it will be poison if it is touched by the
snake.
Or a poisonous snake. So Srila Prabhupada is saying the same mantra, unless it has been given down. So he is emphasizing the point that one has to be in the disciplic succession, coming in the parampara. Srila Prabhupada is giving that instruction. So, as it was mentioned, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the leader of the spiritual movement for this age, has recommended that one chant Hare Krishna mantra. So, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Let's try to understand a few minutes. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Of course, we all know who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The verse say, Jai Ho, Say Krishna, Say Jagannath. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Gaura Hari is non-different. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is non-different than Krishna, is non-different than Jagannath, Lord Jagannath. So, they are all one and same. But again, in the Abhidhila itself, it is mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combination of Srimati Radharani and Krishna himself. He's not just Krishna, he's Krishna and Radha combined together. And what are the reasons for their appearance? So there are three external and three internal reasons given. Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear? So the internal reasons are, external reasons are just to inaugurate, because he is a Yuga avatar, to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. So he appeared to inaugurate, establish the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, which is a Yuga Dharma. And then he came to give Prema Bhakti. Just by chanting this mantra, also it is mentioned, unless we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and unless this particular time of the day of Brahma, which is in the middle, Krishna appears, and in the same, at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appears. And this is the time when we get Prema Bhakti by chanting this mantra. So none of the other mantras give us Prema Bhakti, but chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra gives us the topmost, which is Prema Bhakti. So this is the second reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And the third reason is fulfilling the appeal of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya, who is incarnation of Lord Vishnu himself. Who is the incarnation of Lord Vishnu himself, gave us pray to the Lord to appear, to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. So these are the three external reasons mentioned. And there are three internal reasons mentioned why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So the first reason mentioned is to understand the greatness of Radha's love for himself. So this is not possible. So in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani and Krishna are the eternal consort. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and Srimati Radharani is the supreme enjoyed. So Krishna wanted to experience what does it feel to be Srimati Radharani, because even though Krishna is enjoying in the spiritual world unlimitedly, but it seems like Radharani is enjoying more than Krishna. So Krishna wanted to experience what it will be to. So Srimati Radharani is, it is mentioned, she comes before Krishna. So it's mentioned Radha Krishna. So Radharani is greater. I mean, if you go to Vrindavan, everyone chants Radha Radha. Nobody chants Krishna Krishna. So Radharani's greatness is higher. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to, or Krishna wanted to experience that. How come Radharani is greater? So let me, the devotee of, my devotee is greater than me. So let me experience that. So to experience that greatness of Radharani's love for himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that was the first reason. Second reason is to taste his own sweetness. By being Krishna, he cannot taste his own sweetness. So Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as his pure devotee, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, so that he can taste his own sweetness as a devotee. And to taste Srimati Radharani's happiness. So Srimati Radharani, who is the epitome of Ladini Shakti. So to taste that Ladini Shakti, what it feels like to be the most happiest person, Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are the three external and internal reasons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And because he is Krishna himself, he gives this mantra which enables us to access prema bhakti, which is spiritual and which is filled with transcendental potencies. Nama makari bahuta nija sarva sakti tatra pita niyata smarana nakama. So this mantra is filled, nija sarva sakti, all the energies of the Lord are infused in this mantra. So when we chant this mantra, we straight away get access to the topmost rasa, which is the prema bhakti of the spiritual world. It's interesting. I'll finish with this. So how can we see the practical application of this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Because in theory it all sounds good, but how can we understand that this mantra is really potent, this mantra still it works? So of course in the first section of this canto we heard about Ajamil Paswan, but again that all looks of course Ajamil is from a different age, Yamdutas appeared, and so something that, which is of this age, how can we understand this mantra still works? And then we can see this from the life of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, when he was on Jaladuta, he was praying. In his poem, he wrote that, I'll just read that. Absorbed in material life, these Americans think themselves very happy and satisfied. And therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva Krishna. But I know that through your faultless mercy can make everything possible. Because you are the most expert mystic, how will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? Oh Lord, I am simply praying to you, praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. I am seeking your benedictions. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge. But I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is writing. That, of course, out of humility is writing that he has no devotion or he has no knowledge about Krishna. But he's saying, I have strong faith in the holy names of Krishna. So we can see Srila Prabhupada had this faith that all he brought to US was, it is mentioned in the Lamrita when we read, in 1922, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj gave instruction in that discourse to Srila Prabhupada to go to West and preach. And when did Srila Prabhupada go to US? 1965. September 1965, he reached the harbor, Boston Harbor, right? So that point, Srila Prabhupada, it's mentioned the lifetime of preparation. After that, he reached US, and at that point he's writing, I've just got faith in the holy names of the Lord, and this is what I'm... It is mentioned, he brought something, $8 or something, equivalent to rupees, to West. Imagine coming to Australia with $8 or equivalent, probably $200 or $300 probably. We wouldn't be able to survive a day. But for 7 months, Srila Prabhupada lived with different people in the US. And then finally in 1966 is when Srila Prabhupada met Harvey Cohen, who offered him, there were a few devotees who were coming on and off, and then Harvey Cohen offered him the place in the loft to stay on Manhattan Boulevard. And then Srila Prabhupada started the 3 days classes, Monday, Wednesday and Friday, he started these classes. And all he used to do in the evenings was chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So he used to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for half an hour or so, and then about 5-10 minutes he used to give class. Because it is explained that in those days the people who used to come, they were not so, they were drug addicts, artists, they were more like, the words used were Bohemians. So they did not know anything about Krishna, but they could understand, they could relate to the sound vibration. And it's interesting, it is mentioned, Harvey Cohen mentions in his narration that Srila Prabhupada used to chant a simple mantra, the 1, 2, 3 mantra which we hear in the recordings. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That was a simple, it is mentioned, he used to break these 4 syllables, mantra, and 1, 2, 3 he used to play on his kartals. So it was a simple mantra which he used to chant, nothing fancy, simple mantra for half an hour in that bowery. And then, a simple 4-note phrase, the first 4-note phrase of a major scale. Prabhupada led the kirtan with a small 3-inch diameter hand cymbals he had brought with him from India. And he would ring them 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So nothing fancy. But after a few months, more devotees started coming. And then that Srila Prabhupada's followers gave him a better place in the Second Avenue location. And from there, it is mentioned that the entire, what is it called? Sorry? Journey or the explosion, sorry, it is my Hare Krishna explosion began. So it is mentioned from that storefront, Srila Prabhupada used to chant this mantra, have those 3-day classes and go to Pumpkin Square Park. And he used to, all he used to do there was chant for hours. That's all he used to do. So this is what Srila Prabhupada did. He did not speak high-end philosophy or try to convince them by different yogic postures or anything. No, this was a simple method, just chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And devotees are saying that when Prabhupada's kirtans were lively and captivating, with numerous guests spontaneously raising their feet, hands and clapping and dancing. So many caught on to the chanting of Hare Krishna. Many soon caught on that chanting Hare Krishna was an intense and effective form of meditation, a direct means of communicating with something greater than themselves, no matter what their conception of the Absolute. And so all that the devotees could understand was the chanting had some mystic power. And then Srila Prabhupada initiated the first disciples in September of 1966, at which time about dozen students vowed to chant minimum of 16 rounds a day on their beads. And Prabhupada's flock soon began to print and distribute invitations and leaflets such as this one, this is interesting, where the devotees then started sending out leaflets and flyers. And what was mentioned on those flyers? Practice the transcendental sound vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This chanting will cleanse the dust from the mirror of your mind. Another invitation, another invited American youth to stay high forever, no more coming down. Practice Krishna consciousness, expand your consciousness by practicing the transcendental sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is all they could understand, and this is the most important message they could understand. So the devotees those days could understand that this is not normal mantra. It is stay high for ever. And finally it is written, the chanting of the Hare Krishna seemed to spread in almost magical way. And as time went on, the number of people attracted to it increased exponentially. Even in this unlikely New York setting, the mantra seemed to have its own life. Whether it was melody, the beat, the sound of the words, the look of the devotees, or Prabhupada's humility and serenity, nearly everyone who then came in touch with the chanting of Hare Krishna responded favorably. And another message wrote, mentioned was, Swami's, and this was for a, this was a newspaper headline, Swami's flock chants in park to find ecstasy. So, and it is mentioned, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has replaced LSD and other drugs for many of Swami's followers. Save earth now, and in large type, just below that picture, the Maha Mantra was printed. So for everything, the answer was chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Consciousness expansion that's sweeter than acid, cheaper than pot, and non-burstable by force. So, another one mentioned, living visible, tangible proof that God is alive and well. Chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, and the final message, there is no coming down from this. I can always do this anytime, anywhere. It is always with you. This was mentioned by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. So finding it superior to the euphoria from any kind of drug, he said, there is no coming down anymore. So this was the proof that people who have no knowledge about Krishna, no knowledge about spirituality, just kind of basic, they were used to LSD and they were frustrated with all the things, wars and everything that was going on then. All they did, all Srila Prabhupada did was chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And they could relate to it, they could understand it, they could find that this was not something ordinary, this was something superior. So, yeah, I'll stop here. Are there any questions, comments, corrections? Sorry, what was it?
You said that
artificial chanting is not okay.
So my question is that when you look at these equations, it's really artificial, but as the time goes, it gets natural, so that how do you understand this?
So when you begin your chanting, it is artificial. Did I say artificial chanting is not okay?
Imposition
on the mind. Yeah, it's not artificial chanting. So when we are, of course, when we are chanting initially, we are not fortunate like these devotees are to immediately understand the glories of holy name. Nama Matari Golgani Kisarapsati Sutrapita Nimita Smaran Napa Sitara Sitava Kita Vanamati Gurdai Vakrishan Yajan Namurada. I don't have love for chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, yes, initially we are chanting in the mood of doing it as a regulatory practice. But the holy name is powerful. It will reveal it to us. It will give us the taste. So eventually it will become natural. But yeah, initially we have to chant in our ritual mood. We are not on that platform where we can directly taste the nectar in the holy name. Did I answer? Yes,
you mentioned some names. So can you give more names who have Prabhupada in the establishment of this
one? Yeah, so initially it was Harvey Cohen and then Allen Ginsberg and many devotees are mentioned. If you read Lila Amrita,
George
Harrison and all of them were when they.
And Mukund
Goswami and all of them were there. Okay, let's stop here. Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.